Welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of this show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. This show provides practical, general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. It's useful to get some notebook, paper, and pen to take notes during the show. The next series of shows I'd like to embark upon is All Your Worth, The Ultimate Lifetime Money Plan, which I have spent time on years ago, but which I feel is something we need to revisit in light of the challenges in our economy. The book, All Your Worth, is by Elizabeth Warren, who most of you know about now. She is a senator from Massachusetts, the first female senator from that state, and she has been a very important person in dealing with many debt issues, credit card issues, and issues to help the middle class in particular at the governmental level in the last few years. But before that, as a writer and scholar, a professor at Harvard University. She has a number of books, and All Your Worth was written with her daughter, Amelia Warren Tiagi. What I will follow for the most part is her book, All Your Worth, as the textbook in this series. In the last show, we discussed what to do when bad things happen. There are a number of points that Professor Warren gives. Stay in control. React quickly. Call your creditors. Pay the bills that matter most. Borrow only as a last resort and keep it safe. Negotiate like crazy. And the last thing, the seventh point, is if push comes to shove, call a bankruptcy attorney. We got up to the point, borrow only as a last resort and keep it safe. So we'll continue from there. In the overall All Your Worth system, you're at the point where you had cut out the fund spending, you had drained your security fund, and there still wasn't enough money. What do you do then? If you don't have enough money to keep bread on the table, to get medical care and keep the lights on, then go ahead and borrow the money. Go into debt, but do it carefully. The first rule is to make absolutely certain that there is no other way. Could you earn a little extra cash instead? Is there still a little something in the piggy bank? If you haven't exhausted every possible reserve, then don't borrow. Borrowing will cost you big time in the future, so break the glass and pull the alarm only when you are sure that there is no other option. The second rule is that borrowing is for must-haves only. You already know this. You're not going to take out money for a vacation, but we want to make it doubly clear. Once you start down the slippery slope of debt, it can be so easy to just put any old thing on that credit card. After all, it is Christmas and I don't want to disappoint the kids, or the lawnmower is on its last leg and this is such a good deal. These are not must-have expenses, so knit your own Christmas presents and borrow the neighbor's lawnmower. You can take on debt for housing, medical care, and food, and that's it. The third rule is that safety is more important than interest rates. A home equity loan or a car title loan may seem attractive since the interest rate is lower and the advertisements are coming thick and fast. But the last thing you should do when you get in trouble is put your treasures on the line. After all, it will be tough enough to keep up with your mortgage and your car loan, so you shouldn't make the payments even bigger when you are staring trouble right in the teeth. Safety is more important than interest rates. If you need to take on debt, use a credit card instead of a home equity loan. So what should you do? Start by stringing out your payments. Request a deferment on your student loans and hold off on paying the cell phone, the dentist, the doctor, and other outstanding bills for anything besides your utilities, home, and car payment. Of course, you will get some dings on your credit report and your cell phone may get shut off, but these creditors probably won't charge you exorbitant interest, especially if you call ahead of time, and they won't kick you out of the house and put you on the street. Next, take the lowest interest credit card you can find and charge the necessities. Yes, credit cards are dangerous, and yes, we've told you to cut up your cards, but we also said that the cards are for emergencies, and this is an emergency. Put the groceries on the MasterCard and make the minimum payments as best you can. The bad news is that you may pay more for this kind of debt than you would for a home equity loan, although that's not always the case anymore. But the good news is that you won't risk losing the place where you live. If push comes to shove, you can discharge your credit card, medical debt, and so forth, the unsecured debt, by filing for bankruptcy. Then there's also the question of setting into your retirement account. Should you cash it out? The answer is absolutely not. The law puts special protection on your retirement accounts so your creditors can't get to that money. Those protections are strong for a very good reason. You'll need that money later on, maybe more than you need it today. Moreover, cashing out your retirement account is the most expensive kind of borrowing since you get hit with extra tax penalties. So don't cash out your retirement account, and don't borrow against it either. Hold on to this money for your future. And beware of the debt peddlers. When you get in financial trouble, the offers come flying for all sorts of new debt you can take on. It may sound crazy, but bill collectors routinely call to offer more debt in the same breath they demand payment on your old bills. They try to convince you that taking out a consolidation loan will somehow solve your problems. Hospitals and other medical providers increasingly collect their fees by steering people to high-interest loans, so be especially leery of their offers. When you owe someone money and they are offering to put you in touch with a finance company or to give you more money, run the other way, fast. Collection agents can be really persistent about pushing these offers. Professor Warren knew a man in Tennessee who got behind on his mortgage after he had a heart attack. When the mortgage company called, he figured they would give him a hard time about the missed payments, telling him he had to pay up or else. But they didn't even ask him for a single dollar. In fact, they just wanted him to take on a second mortgage. Wisely, the man refused to put his home under even greater risk. But the mortgage company wouldn't take no for an answer. They called day after day, rousing the man from his sickbed. When he finally told them not to call back anymore, the company started pestering his wife, calling her at the office to tell her that she should make him sign, since she deserves a break. Be prepared to say no and to keep saying no. And don't be surprised if a bill collector tries to put a wedge between you and your spouse. When it comes to collecting money, nothing is sacred. Just hang up the phone and make a pact with your spouse to do the same. And I'll come back to more points after station identification. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you are listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. The next point is negotiate like crazy. Earlier, we had suggested that you call your landlord or your credit card company if you are going to miss a payment. Now it's time to think about what happens if you fall way behind on all your bills and there doesn't seem to be any quick way out of the hole. If you are behind on your bills and your credit score is lower than room temperature, then there is no point in trying to hide it. Your creditors already know, which means they also know that you may be thinking about filing for bankruptcy, a situation where they may not get a dime. There is a good chance that if you are in that much trouble with your bills, at least some companies will be willing to negotiate. Try calling your creditors to see if they are willing to deal. The key is to be firm. Tell them you simply do not have the money to pay in full. Come clean, telling them what went wrong and how you've turned the corner. Tell them you hope to avoid bankruptcy, but only if they are willing to work with you. If a company agrees to deal, make very certain that if you pay, they will erase the debt completely. Get it in writing. Some companies may offer to put you on a monthly payment plan with no intention of ever wiping out the debt. If you get that kind of offer, just walk away. Remember, you don't want to spread out your payments. You want to get rid of your debt completely. And then one more point. If push comes to shove, call a bankruptcy attorney. If you are on the verge of bankruptcy, you may be able to negotiate yourself back off the cliff by getting all or most of your creditors to take less. But be realistic. Don't agree to a payment plan that you can't afford, and don't expect miracles. Some companies are not reasonable, and some are not even polite. So if you run into a brick wall, don't keep banging your head against it. We know how much it hurts to think about it, but at some point, bankruptcy may be the right choice. More than 1.5 million families file for bankruptcy every year, and nearly every one of them would tell you that going into bankruptcy was not an easy decision. But almost all of them will say bankruptcy was the best step to get back on the right track. So call an attorney who is an expert in the field, and you'll be surprised at how much relief you can get. Let's look at the human side to money troubles now. When you get in financial trouble, your wallet isn't the only thing that suffers. Look out for yourself and look out for your loved ones. Always be kind to the people you love. Financial trouble is one of the most stressful things in life, right up there with divorce and the death of a loved one. So, no matter how frightened or exhausted or frustrated you get, you need to follow a basic rule. Be kind to the people you love. That starts with being honest. Be honest with your mate and be honest with your kids. Kids are a lot smarter than we give them credit for, and they know when mom and dad are worried. But they have active imaginations, which means they can dream up something a lot worse than whatever is really going wrong. For example, when Lupe and Jack finally sat down with their 9-year-old son to explain that they needed to cut expenses because Lupe had lost her job, the boy asked, "Will I be living with dad or with mom?" Lupe and Jack were stunned by the question. Divorce wasn't anywhere on the radar screen. But the boy knew something was wrong, and in his world, the worst that he could think of was divorce. When they reassured him that they were all in this together, he cried so hard that Lupe and Jack could barely hold it together. So come clean with your kids. They deserve it. And be kind to your mate. Consider this. If your family is like most, your marriage is more valuable when you get in financial trouble than at any other time in your life. Financial calamity is one of the most frustrating, humiliating, and exhausting experiences a couple can go through. Husbands may feel ashamed by their inability to provide, and wives may feel overburdened by the demands of bill collectors, bosses, and children. And if your boss makes you furious or your bill collector calls you ugly names, you may not be able to spit back. Your mate is always nearby, however, and it can be tempting to lash out in that direction instead. Be kind. You are both under enormous strain right now, and taking it out on each other will only make things worse. Your spouse can be your greatest source of comfort, and you should be the same for your spouse. So make an effort. Do some nice things together. Take a walk. Sneak away for some ice cream. Turn the lights down low and dance to your favorite CD. Promise yourself that at least once a day you will have a conversation that isn't about money. Talk about the weather or something funny the dog did. Anything but money. Remember that financial difficulty should not consume your life or your relationship. And do not develop 20/20 hindsight. When you get in financial trouble, it is tempting to beat up on yourself and your mate about the smarter choices you might have made. Maybe you shouldn't have bought a new car. Maybe your mate should have applied for more jobs. Maybe you should never have tried skydiving. That 20/20 hindsight can keep you up all night, endlessly reliving past mistakes. In the end, second guessing leaves you with nothing but bleary eyes and a sore heart. So get over the past mistakes and focus on making smart decisions now. Go easy on yourself and the people you love. The next point is never trust a bill collector. If your financial problems get really bad, you may find yourself at the center of a lot of attention. Phone calls, letters, even visits to your home, all from the people you least want to hear from, your bill collectors. Bill collectors have a lot of different approaches. Some are friendly and sympathetic, some are cold and clinical, and some are downright scary. No matter what tactic they use, they have only one goal. They want to get paid, period. You can make deals with them if you have to, but don't forget that they are not on your side, so don't ever take their advice. Their goal is to get your money, and their advice is not going to help you. If you have never been late on your bills, you may be shocked by just how nasty bill collectors can be. Bankruptcy attorneys have heard some stories that would straighten your hair and curl your toes. Bill collectors may call late at night, on weekends, and even on Christmas morning. They may call you at work, and they may try to embarrass you by pestering your coworkers or your extended family. Bill collectors will threaten to garnish wages, freeze checking accounts, show up with the sheriff at your house, or even that you will get arrested. Many of these things that they say may even be illegal, both under federal and state law. But they still do it. There was one story of a debt collector who actually threatened to repossess a woman's mattress and set it on fire in the middle of her street. If you get these kinds of threats, ask for a written letter outlining what action the creditor plans to take. If the bill collector won't write the threats down, then he is probably just blowing smoke, and he knows that if he puts it in writing, his company could get sued. So always get it in writing. Many of the practices bill collectors use to intimidate people are outlawed by the Federal Debt Collection Practices Act and laws of your state. And you have a right to defend yourself. For example, the law says that debt collectors are not allowed to call before 8 a.m. or after 9 p.m. and they're not allowed to contact you at work if you tell them your employer disapproves. Most creditors count on the fact that people don't know their rights, and many people who owe money are too ashamed to ask for help. You can do better. Read up on your rights at www.ftc.gov or call the hotline at 877-FTC-HELP. Again, that's www.ftc.gov and the hotline is 877-FTC-HELP. Use these. Don't become another victim. If you have children, you need to be doubly careful about bill collectors. This may sound shocking, but it's true. There are bill collectors who routinely hassle little kids. Many companies make a practice of starting their collection calls in the mid-afternoon when mom and dad are still at work and the kids are home alone. There are people whose children, some as young as 9 or 10 years old, were told that mommy would go to jail if she doesn't pay the bill collector. Just tell her to pay up and we won't call the police. Never mind that the threats were untrue. The bill collector figured that if he scared the kids enough, mommy would borrow the money from someone else and make a payment just to make the call stop. So protect your kids and never ever let them answer the phone when they might be talking to a bill collector. And nowadays with caller ID, they shouldn't answer if they don't know the number in the ID. I'll come back to this in a moment. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you are listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. Another important point is to stay away from credit counselors. We've spoken about this in the past in setting up your strategy and program. Credit counselors sound oh so friendly, but many are just slick operators who want to wring every last penny out of you, then toss you on the credit trash pile when they finally decide that they can't get any more. Until the industry is carefully regulated, just stay away. Even some of the nonprofit counselors have been exposed as shams. Right now, you can't tell the dolphins from the sharks, so stay out of the water. Another important step is to look at yourself. Don't hide in shame. If financial troubles come your way, you may find yourself feeling isolated, overcome with feelings of embarrassment and shame. In a society where people speak publicly about everything from their struggles with alcoholism to their efforts to get pregnant, financial troubles remain the last great taboo. Ordinary, hardworking people just don't talk about overdue bills and repo men. This can leave you feeling that you are all alone, like you are the only one in the world facing hard times. Well, the truth is, if you are in financial trouble, you are not alone. In fact, one in seven families today is in serious financial trouble. That's right, one in seven. A person is now more likely to file for bankruptcy than to file for divorce. You may not know it, but scattered among the folks in your grocery store, your office, your church or synagogue, and even your own family are men and women just like you, people who have done their best and who are now in financial trouble. If you find yourself at the end of your financial rope, you are not the only one. Plenty of other hardworking, decent people have found themselves in exactly the same spot. It's the economy. So don't hide in shame. Find someone you can trust, a family member, your best friend, your minister, and talk about it. Financial trouble can be a giant weight on your shoulders. Don't try to carry it alone. Now let's go into a little bit of detail about the bankruptcy option. When Professor Warren told Emily and Travis that they needed to file for bankruptcy, there was dead silence in the room. Travis looked as if someone had just slapped him, and for an instant, it looked like he might try to hit back. Emily looked a little lost, and it was several minutes before she seemed to notice that she needed to blot her eyes. Elizabeth had gone over the numbers in painful detail, and they all knew that Emily and Travis couldn't even cover the interest on their debts, much less begin to pay down the loans. The conclusion was obvious, but it still stung to hear it. Travis eventually stopped clenching his fists, and Emily finally reached for a tissue. After a few hours of talking, they were still a little shaky, and Emily said, "I was raised right to go to church and pay my bills. But good Lord, it's like I'm choking to death every single day. I can't even drive to work without worrying. How am I going to pay for the gas for my car?" Maybe bankruptcy will give us a little air. Maybe we can do it. Well, the thing is that bankruptcy is all about hope for the future. It's about relief. Bankruptcy may sound like the end of the line and can, for many people, be a gut-wrenching experience, and one we hope you never ever have to face. But if you do, you won't be alone. Every 15 seconds, someone makes the decision to walk into a bankruptcy court. In fact, more people file for bankruptcy each year than graduate from college. If you think you don't know anyone who has gone bankrupt, guess again. Bankruptcy is now more common than cancer. If your financial situation gets really bad, filing for bankruptcy may be your best option. Elizabeth Warren, professor at Harvard, taught thousands of students the laws of bankruptcy and co-authored one of the nation's leading textbooks on bankruptcy. She's testified before Congress and the president about the intricacies of the bankruptcy code. After more than 20 years of teaching and writing about bankruptcy, she can tell you this. By and large, knowledge about bankruptcy is limited to a small number of highly sophisticated lawyers and bankers. Meanwhile, the people who most need to understand bankruptcy, ordinary people who are in deep financial trouble, are left to grope in the dark. If we had a dollar for every person who makes a giant, costly mistake about filing or not filing for bankruptcy, we would be very wealthy. So we want to share some things we know about bankruptcy. That's so if you ever find yourself at the end of your financial rope, you can make the smartest possible decisions. First, what can bankruptcy do and not do for you? Bankruptcy is essentially a one-time get-out-of-jail free card and lets you erase many, if not all, of your debts. The bankruptcy code is designed to achieve two goals. First, when you are at a point where there is no hope of repaying all your debts in a timely way, the bankruptcy process is designed to treat your creditors fairly, or at least as fairly as possible. Bankruptcy prevents a particularly aggressive bill collector from pushing aside the other people you owe money to. The judge makes sure that when you don't have enough money to pay all your bills in full, then the back payments to your landlord or your dentist get the same treatment as your old bills from Citibank or Ford Motor Credit. And the second point is bankruptcy is designed to give you a fresh start. The founding fathers inserted a bankruptcy provision into the Constitution before they added the Bill of Rights because they wanted Americans to have an alternative to debtor's prison and a lifetime of debt. Bankruptcy is based on the principle of second chances. Filing for bankruptcy wipes out many of your debts, giving you a second chance at getting back on your feet financially. When you file for bankruptcy, the court takes legal control over your assets, the bank accounts, the house, the car, everything right down to the jar of pennies and the old bike with the flat tire. At least, that's what the law says, but practically speaking, most people who file, particularly in a Chapter 7, which we will go into in the next show, retain all of their property under exemption laws, which means the creditors and the trustee in bankruptcy can't get at that property. In the next show, we'll talk about the two basic kinds of consumer bankruptcy, Chapter 7 and Chapter 13. So listen to the show next week for details in those areas. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous debt manageable life.